Father, we thank you for just another day. Lord, you've brought us together here for this opportune hour. And Father, I ask that you would fill me and use me that I might be a vessel to bring encouragement to the brethren. Lord, unless you help, this would all be in vain. And Lord, we need you more and more. Just ask that you would help us today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I just have a few points. The desire is to encourage my dear brothers and sisters here today. And so, not exalted message, but just a couple of points that might be an encouragement to you. If we had a springboard to scripture to use for the day, I would choose Romans 8:38, which reads, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As I look at that, it is what it is. I mean, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And I was thinking about, my mind was thinking about, I don't know if y'all know Patrick, but Patrick, he comes here now and he used to be a boxer. So sometimes he'll stop by and we'll have some fellowship together and he'll pull up some boxing. And so he pulled up this match. I don't know too many boxers. He know the boxers, but he pulls this match up on his phone and it has this guy that's very good. And well, he's doing these moves and he's punching, he's hitting all of these different guys, and they switch to this fight where it's him and this other guy. Well, his moving and his greatness in the ring is of such that the opponent literally just quit. He literally quit. I mean, I was like, whoa, this dude was just scared. And so as I thought about that, it kind of coincided with the thought that I was having for this morning. And so if I had to, get a title to this short exhortation, it would be "Stay the Course, You Are Loved." And when you think about that term, "stay the course," I mean, when you look it up in a dictionary, it has to do really with war. When a group is set forth to war and things could be getting a little difficult, they're not to give up. However rough it might seem, however the opponent might look, we got to see it through. It said in the dictionary that, Ronald Reagan at one time, he made that saying pretty popular again. You need to stay the course. So if any of y'all know Ronald Reagan, y'all might remember that. So I put a note here. I put, in the midst of all that's going on around us, God's love for his people will never fail. And so right now, that's where my mind has been at. Just with all of the chaos, all of the difficulties, the trials, the tests, the good times, the bad times, we can be assured that our God loves us and he's not going to fail us. And so I came up with, in looking over this, came up with just maybe four areas in our life that we can look at that we might think about our God that may not, that will not absolutely be true in this walk we have. And one being that sometimes in this walk, when things are getting difficult, when it seems rough, we can think that our God has forgot us. We can literally believe in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tests, that God has forgot us. And so I have a few scriptures here. And one being, I'm gonna go to, and I mean, it's pretty familiar. If you turn with Isaiah 49, it'll be verse 14 through 16. And it reads, "But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands.'" If we just stopped right there today, we just turned the mic off and I just went and sat down, that would be enough for us. Though we may think that God has forgotten us in the midst of our lives, we can be assured that as a mother is to her child, we're that much more to God, because he is our father. When we look at a woman, how she interacts with her child, we can think that's a pretty good analogy that the Lord had used. He said, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb?" But the reality is, women are sinful. I mean, men are sinful. We're faulty. So a woman, actually, in this world, many women are real cruel to their children. They don't treat them in a caring, in a loving way. But our God is not like that. He is absolutely not like that. Not to say that the analogy he's given us is not good. It's just to say that our God is not like that. Though we be in the midst of a trial and we feel like that we're about to go under, though things are tough, we can know with assurance, we can stand on God's promise that he has not forgotten us. I mean, me one, I was always, as a youth, I was always afraid of needles, so to speak. And so I'm intrigued by people when they get tattoos. And it just intrigues me, because I was one to always think I would be the one. I get a tattoo and something cruel's going to happen to me, so I choose not to get one. But just think about this. There's some that put family members, or they put things that they remember on their arms to remind them of maybe a lost loved one, maybe a neighborhood that they used to live in. They use these type of things. But just think, listen to what the Lord says. He's, "I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." That's something. Engrave me on the palms of his hands. He's not going to forget me. Though it seems like it's just really rough, just to be reminded that God knows. He understands. He understands a heartache. He understands a pain. He understands being shunned. If we go to Hebrews 5, not 5, sorry, 13, 5. Sorry about that, guys. The text reads, and the focus is on B5B, but the text reads, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Sometimes as we go through this life, I guess things could seem really, really tough. Sickness strikes. You feel like you're in it all along. Nobody understands. Yes, we visit. Yes, we want to encourage one another. But the person with the sickness just doesn't feel like it's right. They feel unsatisfied. That's why we're always encouraged to go back to the Lord, to His Word, to stay in His Word, to be filled with the promises of God, and to know that our God, He really does love us. He really does want us to know that He's there in the midst of whatever we might be going through. And He promises us that He would never leave us or never forsake us. So regardless of what we might be facing in this life or what we might be going through, we can know with assurance that our God is with us, that He loves us, and He cares for us. I took one instance in Scripture and I pulled out in the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 40. And it says, on that day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took Him, speaking of Jesus, with them in the boat, just as He was. And the other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? And just think about this. Disciples on the boat. Things begin to get a little challenging, trials. The boat begin to shift over. And their thought is the Lord, who's already told them, we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Their thought now is that, Lord, do you care? We're about to perish. This hurts. Just think. Just think about a trial. We got spouses here, so I can always use the spouses. Think about a trial. And I know there's been a time in your life where one part of the couple is a shipwreck. They're like struggling with this trial. And the other one is like, this ain't no big deal. This is nothing. But just think about the Lord. He is literally sleep out. And they come to Him and they're so troubled about these winds. But the Lord had already given them a word. Let's go to the other side. He's already, with assurance, they should have known that we're going to make it there. Why? Because they've already been around Him. They've seen the things that the Lord has done. They should have known that they were going to make it to the other side. But in the midst of that, just think about God's love for them. He didn't grumble. He didn't lash out at them. He didn't scream at them. Though the Scriptures doesn't tell us that. He got up, walked out, and said, peace, be still. And everything went quiet. And it's no different from us. It's no different for us. This is the same God. The one that loves us. And when I say love us, I'm speaking because we're in a room generally. But if I was in my room, I would say the same God that loves me. So regardless of what our thoughts might be, our feelings might be, the reality is the Lord ain't gonna forget us. That's the truth. And that's what we need to meditate on. That's what we need to remind ourselves on, is that in the midst of life, we have to know with assurance that God has not forgotten me. He's not going to forget me. He promised that he would never leave me. He promised that he would never forsake me. Okay, so in the midst of this storm, okay, one of the babies is sick. I got to take comfort in the Lord is with me. He has this all under control. He knows what's best. Psalms 119:71. It says this. It says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Just think about this. Psalmist says, it is good that I was afflicted. In the midst of his life, affliction ain't easy. Affliction hurts. To me, it hurts. And so just to think about this, he said that it was good for him that he was afflicted. Why? Because it was a purpose that he might learn God's statutes. So in the midst of it, it makes me think, okay, so I got to put all of these things in the right perspective. What's taking place in my life? I need to allow my mind to line up with God's word. Why? Because the reality is this, that we know according to the scriptures that all things are working together for our good, because we love the Lord and we are called according to his purpose. And not only that, we know according to God's word that he's working all of these things out that we might be conformed more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he has a purpose for these things. So in the midst of whatever we're going through, we have to remember that the Lord has not forgotten us. He's not going to forget us. Never. We're engraved upon his hands. The same hands that he grabbed hold to us with, we're engraved on his hands. I mean, for marriage, we got the ring on. It reminds you, it's my wife. Oh, that's my husband. Well, the Lord says, we are, each of us, individually, we're engraved on his hands. He's not going to forget us. He loves us. So I encourage you, like I was saying earlier, to stay the course. Don't get up. Don't give up. See, it saddens my heart as I live out the days to just see people throwing in the towel. The reality is, if a man don't make it to the end, he was never converted in the first place. We know that. But it still hurts to see people throwing in the towel, to see people turning away. And so it reminds me that we're called to exhort one another, you know, to come alongside of one another. And so right now, that's what I would pray that's happening right now, just to encourage you guys and myself that we have to stay the course. We have to stay the course. It ain't a sprint. Sometimes you might get a little boost in you. You might run a little faster, but it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. But the Lord gonna get us there. Why? He hadn't forgot us. He promised us. He promised us that we gonna make it to the end. He started this work in us. He's gonna complete it. He's gonna complete it. Another area that came to mind when we're thinking about staying the course is, I had put a note and I changed it, but I'm going to tell you what it is right now because it's in my mind. I was thinking, you know, sometimes this one day when you at a real solid church, certain words you use and you're thinking, that might not be the right word, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was thinking about discipline. But in my notes, I don't take many. These are my notes. Let me show you my notes. These are my notes. This is all I got. But in my notes for a minute, I wrote the word spanking. Spanking. I changed it to discipline because I said, spanking ain't going to work. But I thought about spanking. And since we got kids here, I can use the kids. I mean, it don't feel good. You told you're going to get the pawpaw. You're going to get the spanking if you do that. You're going to get discipline if you do that. And it's all right. Everybody is okay. Everybody's okay. Except for Patrick's son. He's all right till Patrick says, I'm going to spank you. And boy, have you heard him scream. He gets to screaming. Well, when you think of spanking a parent, the truth of the matter is that I don't believe any of the parents here is spanking their children out of hate. It's out of love. They want to lead and guide them to the right way, to that which is right, to that which would honor the Lord, to that which would train them up to be right. So discipline is not a bad thing. But sometimes, like we think the Lord's forgotten us, we think that the Lord's discipline is not good for us. So we take it a little, wrong. And so if we looked at, main text, most people know, we're going to the book of Hebrews and the 12th chapter. And it's the third verse is where I'm going to start. It says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Once again, if you just take that and you just grab a hold of that, and renew your mind. We need a renewed mind to think that, okay, God is not doing this because he's ready to smash me, ready to hurt me. He's doing this because he loves me. Whatever way it might be. It might be through a brother rebuking you. It may be by sin having to be dealt with in your life, but whatever discipline you might find yourself in, remember, it's because he loves you. If you're not being disciplined, now that should alarm you, because he says a father that loves his child will discipline. So that was an area I thought about. I was just thinking about, okay, we think the Lord has forgot us. We think God's discipline is not good for us. And these are things that causes people to get off course. Some people get under discipline and they just, I'm through. I quit. You're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to dictate my life. And ultimately, they're saying it to the Lord. In just one text, we was talking about outside of discipline. I put here, we think the Lord's forgot us. We think God's discipline is not good for us. And then sometimes we just doubt God's promises. You just doubt what the Lord said he's going to do. The Lord tells us to not fear. To not fear, and we fear. I go to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know the account. Joshua, Moses had been leading the people. Moses is dead. Now it's Joshua's time to lead the people into the promised land. And Joshua is so used to Moses being there, he's a little fearful. And the Lord reminds him, I am with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be the one that helps you. Because sometimes we can mistake what's taking place and our focus be shifted and we begin to think, our money did this. Or my boss did this. It's good to give credit in those areas. But the reality was, it was the same God who was with Moses. When Moses was afraid, Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh, who do I tell him sent me? And the Lord responded, tell him I am who I am sent you. So it was the Lord that did it. And that's the same way we have to remember today. The Lord ain't forgot us. His discipline is not bad for us, and we have no need to doubt. We can trust our God. We can stay the course knowing that, hey, the Lord is going to get me there. We have to take our eyes off of the troubles. It's a lot of them out there, brothers. It's a lot of them. The racial tension is taking place in this country. The job situation, the homeless situation, the anger, the frustration that man has. But we have a solid rock. Christ is our solid rock, and we can take courage and we can be confident that he's with us and he's going to help us to make it to the end. Remember, we're going somewhere. The scriptures say we are strangers and pilgrims. I used to be a rapper. I can't think of his name, but I know one of the brothers know. But he would say, earth is not my home. I like that rap song. Because it's a reality. This is not our home. We're passing through. We're going to a better place. No sin. No lying. No cheating. No divorce. You know what I'm saying? It's a better place. And we can look to the Lord knowing that he is going to get us there. And then this one for me was when I thought about this one, it kind of was a little harder for me because this area right here is where I have my most challenging time for me. And it's when things are going well. Things are going well. You know, sometimes when things go rough, when the Lord turned that little, I'm going to just say that little pot up, that water start boiling, and you run to the Lord. You there. I need you, Lord. Help me. But sometimes, you know, the Lord allowed that time of peace where there ain't nothing, ain't no shaking going on right now. It's kind of quiet. And then we so prone to think, oh, got it made now. Lord, I got this. I got it now. I know what to do today. Get a little slothful. Not in spending that secret time in prayer. Well, I got this going. I'm good. I'm good. It's like the business person. They'd have the weekly meetings. that nobody wants to go to. Best part of it is the coffee and the donuts. You know the meetings. But they're giving out good information at the meetings. The meetings are actually good for the team if you're paying attention. But you know how I get. A year or 2 years pass and you're in the meetings and you nodding off. You ain't paying no attention to what's going on. You really saying, I got this. I've been doing this long enough. I already know my job. They talking about the same thing. Watch, he gonna say this, 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 and this. It's a reality. But the fact of the matter is we need to be alert because he might say something today that I didn't know yesterday. You know, like next week, you need to be out of town. Plane leaves at 3. Like, get a phone call in the morning. You think I'm on my way to the office. And they like, to the office? You need to be going to the airport. I mean, it's just the reality of it. Well, it's the same thing in this walk with the Lord when things are going well. Because if our focus ain't right, we'll begin to think we got this under control. And we got a perfect example of that. And it's just one scripture for me. It was enough for me. Got my attention. And it's 2 Samuel 11. And just this little small piece was enough for me. It says, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Whoa. So David, they've been going out, been wiping men out. They've been doing really good. So David is like, we got this. Go on, Joab. Y'all going out there. Y'all take care of that. The text say, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle. When I look at the scriptures, it tells me that David was a king, right? So I think David should have been out to the battle. But David decided to take a little break. Take a little break. And in the midst of David taking a break, it happened. Verse 2. Late one afternoon, when David arose from the couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house. Man, do you ever think about how specific the Lord is? You just say David was on his couch. They at war, but David is on his couch. He just strutting his stuff. I can just see David. And walking on the roof, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. Now, we don't have to go no farther than that. Everybody knows what happened. David fell. And so the reality is this. We can't even I don't want to use the word break, but if you understand what I'm saying, you can't even break when it's times is good. Why? Because remember what I said earlier, we got to stay the course. This is a war. It's not a game. It's all right. We take vacations. But you got to remember, we are in enemy's territory. And our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. He don't sleep. He don't rest. He's always there, lurking, looking for opportunities. And so in the midst of David's time, everything's going well. David got everything under control. David falls. So we have to be mindful of that, okay, Lord, help me to be thankful when things are good. But help me to not forget you. Help me to not get sluggish. Help me to not take this lightly. Help me to realize that this is a marathon. Help me to realize that we're in war. Help me to realize that I need you ever so more today. That's every day. I think I took a note here for 1 Corinthians. The 4th chapter, 7th verse. No, 1 Corinthians. Oh. 9. Nope. Okay. I did put this here. Okay, it says, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So the thought was this. Even when things are going well, even when things are quiet, who gave you that? Who gave you that time of peace? Who gave you that relief from the pressures of the storms that's taking place in life? The Lord did. So we should be thankful, and we should be forever looking to him for what he's done in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. We need him. So we can be assured that God has not forgotten us. We can know that God's discipline is for our good, that we don't have to doubt him because he's given us many great promises that we can hold on to. And even when things are going well, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. The Lord gave us faith. The Lord called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord is the one to begin his good work in us. And so, ultimately, it's his responsibility to get us there, and he's going to get us there. But we have to work this thing out. We have to walk this walk. We have to follow him. Then I was looking at this video, and it was showing this bicyclist, and he was going, flying on this racetrack. It looked like he had it. The finish line is right there, and he puts his hands up, and he's going on his bike, and he's rolling, and he was excited. The line is as close to Papa. He can feel it. And before you know it, in the view of the camera comes another bicyclist, and he passes him up and wins. Mm. Same thing. They got this jogger. He's running from Oregon. Remember that little O on that shirt? He's gone. And he's at the stretch, and he's going in, and he's celebrating. He was excited. Same thing. And before you know it, poo! Man comes beside him and steals the race from him. The reality is this. Brothers, we got to make it to the end. We don't have to worry about nobody beating us there. That's not our, we don't have to worry about us beating us there. But when I seen that, you know what that spoke to me? The race ain't over with. Hold on. It's all right to be happy, but you ain't made it to the finish line yet. And ain't a single person in this room today made it there yet. We are going to see people fall out of the race. It's a part of the race. Do not get high-minded about that. Be careful lest thee fall. Brethren, I encourage you, man, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. He's the only way we're going to make it to the end. But the greatest thing of all is that he loves us. He loves us. And we didn't love him first. He loved us first. He called us first. He laid his life down for us first. And just like he lives, we live. We got to stay in his word. We got to stay in prayer. And we got to remember the Lord promised us that he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And so we can go with boldness and confidence knowing that we are going to make it. You know, sometimes we so quiet in here, it's like we got to go moaning and head all down. Nah, we're victorious in Christ. We are more than conquerors in him. And we can be happy in the Lord. The world is happy as they feed their filth across our faces and our ears and our minds all day. We can be happy in the Lord knowing this. We're heading somewhere and God's going to get us there. We can be bold and courageous like David was in the face of Goliath. That's how we can go. And I think that's how we can have great joy in our hearts as we just remember the promises of the Lord and his love that he has for us. So I just encourage you, brethren, stay the course. Christ loves us. And it's only a few more rolling suns at most that's going to land us there on Canaan coast. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for such great and many promises that you have given unto us. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts, Lord. Encourage the brethren today, Father. Give us fresh glimpses of you as we study your word in our times away from one another, Lord. And just allow us to see you for who you are and allow us to grab hold to the many great promises that you have given unto us. Lord, you said you've given us eternal life. And Lord, we can take confidence that you have really went and prepared a place for us and you will return and we will be with you soon, Lord, seeing you face to face. What a great thing to look forward to, Lord, we're strangers and pilgrims. Lord, help us to keep our eyes set on things above. Lord, bless my brothers, bless my sisters in this place. And Lord, if any in this place know you not, I pray that you would soften their hearts and, Lord, allow them to realize their need for a Savior as great as you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the King of kings and the Lord of lords in our life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.